In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is an interesting character in human history. Today, January 7th, the day after Epiphany, the church dedicates as the celebration of this wonderful and interesting and indeed heroic man. Now, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, John being just a few months older. From infancy, really, John felt a noble calling as the announcer of the Savior's coming. When John was still in his mother's womb and pregnant Mary came for a visit, infant John sensed the presence of infant Jesus and leaped for joy in his own mother's womb. And thus began a lifetime of announcing and preparing people for the coming of Jesus Christ. In adulthood, for several years before Jesus began his public ministry, John lived out in the wilderness, and there he developed quite a following of people. People from the cities and villages, they flocked to hear him preach, really as often as they could. Crowds were often found hanging on his every word. And John gave lively and powerful, you might say fiery, sermons, but also very encouraging sermons, encouraging folks to continually renew their lives, to change their mind, to change their way of thinking, to change their way of looking at life. Now, John was very harsh toward the powerful, towards the religious establishment, and very encouraging toward the common people. And his basic message to the common people, his basic message really to how we live was be content. Be content with what you have. Be content with who you are and be generous. Be generous towards others. Now, John would also baptize people who came to him. He would immerse them in the waters of the River Jordan. And this baptism was a symbol of a changed way of thinking. So when people went back to their homes, they would remember this baptism of John. I mean, if you went out and heard a preacher preach and then went home, that would be one thing. But if you got baptized in the River of Jordan, that would carry with you longer. So this baptism of John would help them keep this path of newness fresh in their lives when they returned home. Now, John had become quite popular, developed quite a following. And soon he had a group of his own disciples who stayed with him. They were learning from him. They would help him with whatever his needs were. And John's disciples were quite devoted to John and to his message. And as John's fame grew, the number of his followers increased. And people started to wonder if John was in fact the Messiah, if John was the long-awaited Savior that God had promised would come to the world. Now, we said John taught the people how to live well for God. Well, there's another layer to John's preaching that ran even deeper, and this was to prepare people for the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Anointed One. As people began to speculate if John was this Messiah, this Christ, John began very clearly to teach them, "No, I am not." John told them that he was simply a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for someone much greater than himself. And John said, "I baptize with water for repentance. This man, this one that's coming, this one will baptize you with the Holy Spirit for eternal life." And John said, "This one is coming soon, and I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie and carry his shoes. That's how much greater he is than I." And then John indeed baptizes Jesus Christ when Christ comes, which we celebrated on Epiphany. And this brings us to what we heard this morning's gospel reading. When John sees Jesus walking near the River Jordan, and remember, John had his own disciples. When John sees Jesus, he turns to these disciples of his and says, look here. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I've been talking about all along. When this one was in the Jordan, John says, I saw the Spirit of God descend on him and remain there. This man is the Son of God. This is the one that you need to be following if you want life. And this, you might say, was the pinnacle moment of John's ministry. This was it. This is why he had come into the world, to turn his host of followers over to Jesus, the one for whom they'd all been waiting. For the Son of God had come into the world, and so the time of waiting had ended. It had been fulfilled. And you might say there's an invitation to each of us to be like John, to be such a light in the world that people who meet you want to meet your source. You know, if you're such a light-filled person, people are going to want to know, where'd you get it? How do you manage that in this world? To be such a loving presence that people want to know your secret. To be so loving that people are drawn naturally to your God. This is what John's life was, and this is how we are called to be like him. To be so filled with love and light that people want to know where we're getting it from. Now, even though this was the pinnacle of John's ministry, to turn people over to the embrace and protection of Jesus Christ, and now that that's accomplished, there are a couple more things to remember about St. John the Baptist. We mentioned that John preached very harshly toward people in power. Well, that got him into some trouble. Shortly after John turned his followers over to Jesus, John is arrested. John is arrested. He had preached against King Herod. It's not usually wise in an earthly sense to preach against the king. He had preached against Herod because Herod had stolen his brother's wife for himself. And John preached publicly that this was not lawful. And so Herod threw John in prison, where John lived in physical misery but spiritual peace, eventually to be executed. The second thing is that just because John told his followers to follow Jesus doesn't mean they all did. Some were unwilling to give up their loyalty to John for probably a variety of different reasons. He'd try to send them to Jesus throughout the Savior's ministry. Some of them would finally go to Jesus. Some kept coming back to him. And after John's death in prison, those remaining followers were kind of at a loose end. And that's referenced in what Megan read for us from Acts today. Years later, after John's death, the Apostle Paul runs into a remnant group of John's followers way up in Ephesus. So this is years later and hundreds of miles away, you know, before the day of cars. Paul runs into a group of John's disciples in Ephesus, not knowing who to follow. These believers didn't really know who to follow. They're kind of aimless. And Paul finds out that they were only baptized with John's original baptism. So Paul, of course, takes the opportunity to fill them in on everything about Jesus coming into the world. So Paul becomes like John. You need to turn to Jesus, the same ministry, the same one that we are called to. Paul fills them in about Jesus coming into the world. And these last 12 stragglers believe in Jesus, are baptized with Christian baptism, and receive the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit, kind of symbolically tying that final bow on the ministry and earthly life of St. John the Baptist, the last of these scattered followers in what Megan read for us, are finally united to the body of Christ. Now, so many more details could be related from the life of this amazing man, but I hope on this day, when the church celebrates the person of St. John the Baptist, that you found this little overview both informative and edifying. Amen.